Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Broadcasting live from Houston, Texas, downtown Houston, Texas, and we're going to be here all week and down here working with some folks, and which I'll tell you about later on in the day. Right now, I want you to meet and let me reintroduce you to a very old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a Republican operative, folks, in the interest of full disclosure. Rich Galen is with us and joining us from just outside the Beltway in our nation's capital. Rich is the author, the publisher, and the chief accountant over at the cyber column, Mullings.com. And he's our good friend, Rich Galen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm inside the Beltway, outside the district.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You are inside the Beltway.
So I count as one of those inside the Beltway dopes that you shouldn't pay any attention to.
Hey,
I don't
Rich,
want to skirt my responsibilities here.
Rich, the big doings this week in terms of the U.S. government is what's going to happen tomorrow. There is a televised gathering of power brokers in Washington, the three main groups, the president, the leadership in the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Congress on the side of the aisle, and the leadership in the Republican side of the aisle, and the president has invited them to the Blair House for I think some sliders and fries maybe or something, and probably a beer, who knows, to talk about something that I think most of the American people thought was already settled. Talk to us about what's going to happen.
Well, it's really interesting. Actually, here in Washington, this thing has kind of lost steam in terms of interest in the run up to the event. In the Washington Post, for instance, it doesn't appear until page A4. It's not even front page news. And I think a lot of it has to do is that it's taken on Jim the aspects. And this will not surprise your listeners, of a labor negotiation where the Democrats, in the run-up to what it was supposed to be a free and open discussion about where to go with health care, the Democrats have loaded it up with, and the president and the congressional Democrats have loaded it up with so many things that they want to say, this is where we are now, let's move from this point forward. Now, Republicans are saying, well, you know, okay, that was funny. Let's go spend 3 hours up there, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. The reality is that nothing matters in Washington unless you have the votes to make it happen. And right now, I wrote a column for today, in fact, that I said the Democrats would probably get this thing through, and I've been bombarded by members of Congress saying that Nancy Pelosi does not have the votes. And so I think that's taken a lot of the pressure off, that if Republicans don't think the Democrats have the votes and the Democrats aren't saying we got the votes, they probably don't have the votes. And this whole thing is nothing more than, as I said the other day, watching, it's going to be the equivalent of watching a Tiger Woods apology for 3 hours.
Well, it seems to me like it's a cross between a charade, or as they say in England, a charade.
A charade.
It's a cross between a charade and a trap.
Well, I don't see people say that. I'm not sure where the trap lies.
Here's the reason why I say that, Rich. One of the things that I always tip my hat to the Democrats for is in the Olympic event of politics, the Democrats are just better at it than the Republicans.
Yes, they are. Because I'll tell you why that is. It's because they have the talent to find the one exception to the basic rule that proves their case. And you know, it's, if you say 6.5 million people are affected by this, that's one thing. If you literally trot out the 45-year-old woman whose husband left and had got two, you know, preschool kids and say,
right,
she's affected by this, that makes the emotional connection. The Democrats are very good at that.
Well, so folks, let's back up just a little bit, Rich. The President Obama was elected with I think he justifiably felt that he had a mandate, and everybody knew that he wanted health care reform to happen, and we knew his way of health care reform was basically going to be something along the lines of universal health care, some variation on that theme. We knew that that's what he wanted. I'm not surprised by any of this. And he justifiably, I think, felt that he was going to be able to get that done in his first year. And so he proceeded to try to do that. Well, as you pointed out in your column today, along came some interruptions like the town hall meetings, the tea parties, the Scott Brown, New Jersey, Virginia governor elections. Those were little headwinds that gave the opposition a little bit of spunk and a little bit of grit and backbone, and caused them to bow up a little bit. And so now his healthcare agenda, Obama's healthcare agenda, is not as sure as it was. But the thing about it is you're talking about the votes. You said they still don't have the votes, but that doesn't mean they don't have a way of pushing this through.
Well, in the Senate, I mean, the big thing about the Senate is, I think all your listeners know this, so we won't spend a lot of time. Normally, you need to be able to demonstrate you've got 60 votes to get something to the floor. It's called a vote.
Supermajority.
Yeah. But if they go through this, what's called the reconciliation process, then these are just Senate rules. I mean, the Democrats could change that rule tomorrow morning if they wanted to.
Right.
I mean, there's no law that this doesn't have to. I'm not sure they could, anything else would get done for the rest of the year, but they could do it. But in the House, it's always a simple majority, and the point that I touched on in the column was that back in November, when the big sweeping Democratic plan passed the House, it only passed with 5 votes, 220 to 215. You need 218 to pass anything. If everybody's voting. Now, John Murtha, one of the Democrats, died, so she's down to 219 votes. So now they're really kind of staring down the barrel of whether or not the blue dog Democrats, the moderate Democrats, and remember, for any member of Congress, nothing is more important than their own reelection. I mean, it's one thing to say I'm going to take a bullet for the party here, but then you kind of go home and your supporters say, well, wait a minute, is it better to take a bullet and lose, or is it better to, to vote against the party and still have your seat next, with your regular vote?
Hold on to that thought, Rich. We're going to come back, folks, and I want to talk about this reconciliation thing, what it takes to do that, how unprecedented that is for this kind of legislation, and also a little bit more about that my idea of this being a trap, this meeting tomorrow. Stand by, 20 after. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Life goes on day after day.
Little Jerry and the Pacemakers bring us back. That's Jerry with a G. Welcome back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, broadcasting live from Houston, Texas. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. But I also want to tell you about another publication, another cyber column that's very important, Mullings.com, which is the one that was produced by our guest this half hour and our good friend Rich Galen. Folks, I encourage you to go there at Mullings.com, subscribe to his newsletter. It's free, at least right now it is. And I think later in the year he might put the arm on you for a couple of bucks, but that goes away real quick, so don't worry about that. And if you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what Rich is up to. If you're a Republican, I think you're going to like what he has to say, and all will be entertained. Rich, thank you for that's just still thrice weekly, right?
Oh yeah, except for August. Only in August is it twice.
Yeah, Rich. back to the event that's going to happen tomorrow. I want to quickly get to the reconciliation thing, and talk about that, and then I want to talk about I want to get back to my idea of this being a trap. Folks, if you just tuned in, or if you just crawled out of a cave, the president and is it just the Senate leadership tomorrow?
No, the House and Senate.
House and Senate leadership, both sides of the aisle, and the president are having a barbecue at the Blair House tomorrow to talk about health care. But if things don't go well, the Democrats still have the ability to, even if they don't have the votes, a supermajority of votes in the Senate, they can push this thing through in what's called a reconciliation. Rich, the issue, if I understand this, for this particular piece of legislation, it would be unprecedented, even though Republicans and Democrats both have used this tactic, it would be unprecedented to push this kind of sweeping legislation through in such a way.
Yeah, even the Bush administration used the reconciliation is very technical and very confusing. And as I love to say, there's only two guys that understand it, and they don't agree. But the general theory was that a budget bill that directly affects the budget for the year isn't subject to filibuster, which means that you only need a simple majority, 51, or one more vote than the other guys, not 51. That's if everybody's voting. You need one more vote than the other guys to get that through. And what the Democrats have announced that they're going to try to do is to literally contort this legislation in such a way that they will claim that because of its enormous impact on the budget, it is whatever it is, 17% of the budget, that it falls under the reconciliation rules, that Republicans will object. The parliamentarian, who is appointed by the majority leader, will uphold the ruling of the chair, and it'll go forward if it gets to that point. My guess is, though, that what will happen is that it'll go to the House first, because there's probably 51 votes in the Senate. It's not at all clear that there's 218 votes in the House.
But the bottom line is it'll be unprecedented if it happens. Now, you and I are talking about this as if we're already predetermining that they're not going to reconcile tomorrow in this meeting.
Oh, there's no question about that. If you really wanted to have an open, friendly discussion, you wouldn't go into this thing with the White House publishing what its position is on Monday,
which is diametrically opposed to the essence of what the Republicans want.
Exactly, and B, you wouldn't have the Democrats threatening to do this reconciliation nonsense. You'd say, okay, let's go in with an open mind and a blank sheet of paper and work this out. But that's not what anybody wants.
Right. Yeah. It's which brings me to this to the point about the trap. What if you agree with me that the Democrats are better at politics than the Republicans are, and the table is being set for the Republicans to come to this meeting tomorrow, what are the chances that they through the staging of this thing tomorrow, the Republicans wind up looking like either mean or at the worst or feckless at a minimum?
Oh, I think there is a possibility. I think at this point it's not a great possibility because both sides will come out and claim victory. But what I wrote the other day was I thought what the Republicans should have been doing this week is literally running ads in every single congressional district that they have a seat, and with the Republican National Committee filling in the gaps with the 4 or 5 points that are in the Republican plan, mm-hmm. and counter what the Democrats have been doing. But A, nobody asked me, and B, if they had, they wouldn't have paid attention.
So
it's easy for me to spend their money.
What is President Obama thinking? I mean, after all the things that have happened in the last 6-8 months, what is he thinking? I mean, I got about a minute left, Rich. I mean, it seems to me that it's awfully dangerous politics for him to continue to push something that's so unpopular in the country.
Well, this is his last gasp. I had a list of things that he wanted to do this year or last year that he couldn't get done. This is his FDR moment. This is the big thing that will have the lasting impact on American society. And I think they've just decided that they're going to go down swinging if they go down, because at least he can claim, we tried, the Republicans stopped us, and we'll see you in November.
It sounds kamikaze to me, Rich.
Well, you may be right. They've got polling data that I haven't seen, so I don't know how they think it's going to play out. I agree with you. I think that this plays into Republican hands, because there is no overwhelming desire in the country for ultimately the government to take over American healthcare.
There's one thing that both of us prophesied in December, that President Obama would sign a healthcare bill in 2010.
Well, they may come back with some. If this doesn't work, they may come back with something that does that everybody can agree on, just to get out of town and to so they can go home and say we voted for something.
Yeah. Hey, Rich, thanks for being here. Mullings.com, right?
Yes, sir, Mullings.com.
Thank you very much for being here. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, a great American, We always appreciate his perspective on these things. Quick break. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.